T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning. Welcome back to the broadcast. I really believe we are at a very interesting time in history. We played for you on Tuesday a message that I very much appreciated because it really speaks from my heart about where we are in terms of the need for us to change the nature of our engagement politically. Now, you've already heard this from my good friend Wayne Jacobs in the book that he's written with two other people. And now you've heard this from kind of a political leader. I was just reflecting on this morning. We've got the perfect storm politically. And it presents a real opportunity. A real opportunity. Let me tell you what I mean by this. And you're going to hear some content a little bit later on that is going to affirm what I'm telling you about the atmosphere that we currently have politically. Because the political atmosphere is setting the table for what could happen in the future. Those of you who listened to Dr. Arthur Brooks' message, you heard him communicate kind of the theme from the book that he has written, Love Your Enemies, How Decent People Can Save America from the Culture of Contempt. This culture is killing America. And if I can say this from the housetops, I will. I don't care how much money we have flowing in this country. If we don't get a hold of this, we will kill this country. We will drown in a culture of contempt. I want to believe we can turn this around. The question is, do we care enough to turn this around? Let me set the table first before I share the first piece of audio with you. The first item is a piece of audio. The second item is actually a letter I'm going to share with you, a column that was written by someone sharing their experience. Here are the two things that are going on. From a political standpoint, we've got a Democrat Party that is in profound disarray. These people cannot tell their heads from their rear ends. They really can't. There's a lot of confusion, infighting, backbiting. Now, some people say, well, this is just politics as usual. But it's really deeper than that. Because, again, once you bring in the culture of contempt, it just creates a whole lot of bad blood. On the other hand, we have our current economic situation, which is quite favorable for the president going into the 2020 election. There's an opportunity here to highlight what happens when we promote free market values. This is an opportunity. And this is one of the things where I say again, let's seize on the opportunity, not for a short-term election victory, but for a lifetime. And for that reason, it cannot be about a personality. It cannot be about a political party, no matter how much you love either one of those things. It has to be about the values that brought us to this place. And they have to transcend the parties and the individuals, the political candidates. Because ultimately, what is our country supposed to be about? Politicians? No, it's supposed to be about we, the people. This is why, as I share the first item that ought to inspire us, I introduce you to Scott Presler. If you've not met him, he travels around the country cleaning up liberal cities across America. When I say cleaning up, I mean literally. You know what they have on the streets of San Francisco, don't you? Well, Scott Presler was out there. And while he was out there, he got into a little bit of a conversation with a woman on the street who is quite liberal. Needless to say, Scott is not. I want you to listen to the exchange and ultimately the speech he delivers on the street.
Why are illegal immigrants more important than Americans? I'd like to hear an answer.
Why are people illegal?
Why are illegal immigrants more important than homeless people sleeping on the streets? Why do we in the great, one of the biggest economies here in California, take care of illegal immigrants, but our people are sleeping on the streets? I'd like to hear an answer to that. Why? Nobody can ever answer
It'll
that
be on
question.
YouTube.
Why don't people put American citizens first, but illegal immigrants get everything? And I hope you post this. I want this to go viral because I give a damn and I care about my community. My dad is a retired Navy captain. He served our country honorably. My grandfather is a retired Navy captain. And I'm doing my part to help our country because I give a damn and I'm going to fight for it. And I am 100% voting for Donald Trump on Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020. The Democrat Party does not put our people first. They put sanctuary cities first. They put illegal aliens first. They tax us. They tax our water. You can't even do laundry and shower on the same day. While Nancy Pelosi is getting hundreds of thousands of dollars, robbing our pockets, not doing anything for our people, not passing legislation, passing out pens like they're candy. Meanwhile, President Trump is signing United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, and he's signing trade deals, and he's cutting our taxes, and he's securing the border, and he's putting our veterans first. I am proud of President Trump, and I am voting for him because he's putting the American people first, period.
I'm afraid that
well,
thank
you. What do you think? This guy is completely on board. Do you think? And what's he communicating here? He starts off with a question. This is one of the things I had someone ask me for advice the other day, and they were trying to figure out how to deal with a particular situation. And the thing that I always tell people, don't make a statement. Don't confront somebody. Start with a question. That's a great place to start. Do you notice you never got an answer to his question? Because the poor woman on the street who was confronting this guy didn't have an answer for that question. Why do these politicians put illegal immigrants ahead of the homeless and veterans? Why? Because this is all about one thing. It's about votes. That's what they care about. It's about power. It's about demagoguery that would somehow manipulate people to continue voting for them over and over and over and over again, when in fact, they're delivering nothing to the American people but debt and false promises. Coming up, we have another view, and this comes from somebody who at one time was drinking the Democrat Kool-Aid, but no more. This one is mind-boggling as well, as we continue our Friday broadcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
From our first segment, we played some audio from a Trump supporter. His name is Scott Presler, and we already have several requests. Can you share this? I'm in the midst of sharing this with you right now, so I will let you know for sure when this is actually up. Over on the text line, Vince, what is your definition of transcend? I'm glad you asked that question. In fact, I made a note about this, and I'm very much a visual person, and I'm thinking of, I have a lot of ideas. I need to figure out how to put in graphic form. Almost like on a chalkboard or something like that. So kind of explain it. If I can draw a picture for you, it would be of ideas at the top. Below that would be personalities, political parties, and, hey, throw in cable news, all kinds of other things, kind of in a mix of soup. And what I'm saying ultimately is the ideas kind of rise above all of the other stuff. Because the danger is, and let me step back a moment. I'm not talking about putting ideas above people. I'm talking about putting ideas above personalities, above entities, above brands. Does that make sense to you? Because that's where they belong. Ideas are much more important than all of those things. See, you are not a personality. You are a person. You are an individual with a heart, a mind, a soul. I value that. What I don't value is hype that may surround you. I don't necessarily value your Twitter feed. That's another thing altogether. I may not value your political ideas. You see where that distinction is so important? Because if we lose sight of this, this is where we start going sideways and we start having conflict over things that really don't matter. Here's a freebie before I go to some of your calls. Why do we have a multitude of so-called Christian denominations? Now, some people might see this as a simplistic answer, but it is a simplistic answer. It's a simple answer. Because some people think ideas, some secondary ideas for the most part, are more important than their relationship with God and with people. That's the reason for the disunity. What was Jesus' prayer? That we might be what? One. One. So why did we create all these different brands? Again, what do those brands do? They separate. They keep people from doing the very basic thing that we're called to do. He didn't tell us to go create all these different denominations with these different labels and titles. In fact, some of these founders, alleged founders, like the Wesleys and the other names, whatever they are you want to bring up, some of those people would not be very pleased if they were to see, if they were to be resurrected right now and see what has been done in their name and with their name, they would be aghast. They really would be. Because that was not the point. I hope that helps you understand. Transcend. Rise above. Rise above the personality. Rise above the labels. And that's where we can begin to engage and relate and have conversations. And we may not always agree. Let's go out to a call from Johnny in Monroe. Good morning, Johnny.
Good morning, Vince. I just wanted to talk about the piece you played about the fella out in California. Someone needs to get that to the Trump campaign. That would be a good ad.
I can guarantee you they've already seen it. I put money that they've seen this and seen this guy already. He's already established quite a reputation around the country. But you're right. I mean, this all you have to do is just do some editing on this for time. You've got a ready-made Trump commercial, don't you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thanks very much for your call there, Johnny. Let's go out in the opposite end to Greer, South Carolina, and our good friend, J.D. Good morning, J.D.
Hey, Vance. I just heard what he said, and everything he said is pretty much the truth. And you were talking about different religions. Well, that's the problem. Everybody wants to, you know, pick and choose what they want to pick out of the Bible instead of just going by what the Bible actually says. Everybody wants to, you know, well, that's not good for me, or this is not good for her. Come on, let's just get down to the nitty-gritty and say it like it is and do it like it's supposed to be. I would like to – is there any way I can get a copy of that speech that the kid said, or how do I go get one?
I will have this available. In fact, we'll have this available on, I assume for you, the 106.3 WORD Facebook page here in just a few minutes. So be patient, hang on, and you'll have the opportunity to play that and share that. It's really good stuff. And I love his style. It's not even combative. It's just, hey, here are the facts. And even, I love the way he tries to, again, draw that woman in. Can you explain this to me? Why is there a greater concern for illegal immigrants? Because there's really not a good answer. There never will be a good answer for that. And I've raised this question plenty of times before. What the crap is our citizenship worth? If somebody who just walks across the border, has no citizenship, no standing, no tax liability whatsoever, is on the same level as you and I working our asses off. Please explain that to me. Why do I get taxed? Why do I get regulated? Why do I have people on my rear end to work for them for 4 or 5 months out of the year? I've got liability. An illegal immigrant, all they have to do is walk across the border, and they've already got politicians pandering to them and trying to do for them, frankly, trying to do for them before they even cross the border. What's wrong with this picture? This is the very definition, I think, of treason. See, the faithfulness is not to an entity. The faithfulness is to a people. Do you care about the people you care to you claim to represent? Are these your people or your constituents in South America or in Mexico? If they're over there, get your ass on a plane and fly over there and serve them. Otherwise, you got to think about resigning. Texter here saying, I completely agree with him. Not just California, all across America. Take care of America and Americans first. This is not complicated. And, you know, this goes back to, you've got to set up. Now, excuse my spiritual example again. Some people get bothered by this, but I think you'll get over it. When talking about sharing the gospel, what did Jesus talk about? Communicating the gospel what? To Jerusalem first, then Judea, then Samaria, then the uttermost parts of the earth. What do? You begin at home. You take care of home first. In the hierarchy of where we are as individuals and families, whatever, it starts first with us being healthy human beings. Then it spreads to our families. We take care of our families first. And beyond that, our local community, our neighborhood, and then to our city, and then to our state, and then to our nation. And then if you have some left over, you can help people outside. It's the same thing with your family budget. You're not going to get your money. You're not going to get your paycheck today and say, oh, where? What charities can I give to first? No, you have responsibilities. You've got to keep a freaking roof on your head first. I love the analogy that I've stolen from somebody else. You get on an airplane. They give you this briefing every time you get on. If that mask comes down, put your own mask on first before helping others. And we need to do that in America right now. Coming up, we're going to share an incredible letter with you. Back in the broadcast, just talking about the opportunity before us. And this idea, for instance, of America First is really not complicated. And I want to make something very clear. This is not about American supremacy. If I were living in Argentina, I would certainly expect my leaders to put Argentina first. If I lived in Russia, I expect my leader to put Russia first. This is not complicated, folks. It doesn't imply any sort of superiority or anything like that. Let's go out to a call from Ryan in Charlotte. Good morning, Ryan.
Morning, Vince. You are on fire today, man.
Well, thank you.
It's good to hear it. So this particular subject, I always want to call up and talk about this because there's so much rhetoric and propaganda surrounding this issue. There's so many things that are just offensive when you hear it said over the airwaves, things like, oh, they do jobs that Americans refuse to do. I take such offense to that because there's not a single job that an American would not do to take care of their family.
Yep.
So when you hear something like that, it gets me so angry. So they also want to tell you that this is a complex issue and how are we going to deport 14 million people? None of that's necessary. That's all just bull hockey. We can fix it overnight. Here's how we do it. All we would have to do is send a message. Prosecute companies that hire illegals,
yep.
And then really make an example of a big one. Like the meatpacking industry is pretty much all moved to the border. If we and really, let's be honest about it, Vince, what it is when you hire that many illegal immigrants at on that scale, you're talking thousands. That's organized crime. Let's call it what it is.
Ooh,
so
wow.
The first time the federal government prosecutes a Tyson's Chicken for organized crime and a plant gets seized and sold. Well, let me tell you something. Every employer that hires illegals will dry up overnight, and they'll self-deport. They'll go home because the work will dry up. And then what do you know? Tens of thousands of jobs will open up, and they say, well, it's only these jobs. But let me tell you, all kinds of skilled trade is – I mean, it's almost a cliche. You know, if you're a handyman, if you're a bricklayer, if you're an electrician, all of these great trade jobs have been taken up by illegals because – business owners don't want to pay for a skilled tradesman. They'd much rather pay, you know, $5-$10 an hour for something that should be paying $25 an hour. So it's a really easy fix. I wish Americans would just stop, you know, taking the bull that they've been handed and you know, demand something be done.
Yep. Hey, I'm with you, Ryan. This isn't complicated. Again, there's what has been lacking all of these years is just the will. And even now, let's be honest about it. Do we see aggressive enforcement like Ryan has just described? Have you seen any of these big companies get taken to task for anything? And this goes back to the idea we've talked about plenty of times, the unholy alliance between big government and big business. It hasn't changed, and we should not at all be fooled into the idea that somehow anything has changed substantively. Now, the rhetoric, it's great right now. But there's action that's needed. Action. Over on the text line. Apparently, I've gotten some people fired up today. Right on, Vince. I love it. Oh, my goodness, Vince. I wish I could high-five you right now. You can do a virtual high-five. How's that?
Wi-Fi.
Yeah, there you go. Wi-Fi. That is good. Another texter saying, in order to help others, America must first be in a position of strength and prosperity. Absolutely. At home. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. Darn it, Vince. You go, brother. Do not get off that box. Oh, my goodness. By the way, the audio we shared with you in the first segment is now on all of our pertinent pages. It's on the page for WBT, News Talk 1110, also for 106.3 WORD, and the Vince Coakley fan page. All three have this video posted. So watch it, share it, whatever you want to do with it, have a blast. How's that? Steve in Indian Trail, good morning.
Yes, sir. Here's what I've done. I've divorced myself from parties because parties are bad. So the Republicans are they're staying there for illegals, but I can tell you that the top guys, and they're all in bed with the Chamber of Commerce, and they want the cheap labor. I talked to a guy who was running a company out in California, and this has been a couple of years ago when they said they were going to do the minimum raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. And so I asked them, I said, what are you going to do if they raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour? He said, I'm going to move to Mexico. We're just using Mexicans now anyway.
Hey, you may as well. I mean, just cut out the middleman. Don't have to worry about them coming over here. Just go get them yourself. Great plan there, Steve. I appreciate your call. I want to start. I know I will not be able to finish this, but I want to at least start by sharing with you an incredible post. This is from a woman who's been a Democrat for all of 20 years. 20 years. And she has some very interesting observations. Now, before I share any of this, I just want to again remind you, those of you who do not think that you can win somebody over, you need to pay close attention to this testimonial, because this is powerful stuff. It really is. This person is an organizational psychologist and mindfulness expert. And she has had a profound paradigm shift. And I think you will hear when I share this, it happened because of her encounters with people. This is why I tell you, one of the best things I think people can do sometimes is shut off the white noise, the politicians, and just engage real people. And here's how she starts off. Her name is Carlin. Carlin starts off saying, I think those of us on the left need to take a long, hard look in the mirror and have an honest conversation about what's going on. If you told me 3 years ago I would ever attend a Donald Trump rally, I would have laughed and assured you that was never going to happen. Heck, if you told me I would do it 3 months ago, I probably would have done the same thing. So how did I find myself among 11,000-plus Trump supporters in Manchester, New Hampshire? Believe it or not, it started with knitting. You might not think of the knitting world as a particularly political community, but you'd be wrong. Many knitters are active in social justice communities and love to discuss the revolutionary role knitters have played in our culture. Who would have thought? Knitters. Yes, there you go. I started noticing this about a year ago, particularly on Instagram. I knit as a way to relax and escape the drama of real life, not to fully further engage with it, but it was impossible to ignore after roving gangs of online social justice warriors started going after anyone in the knitting community who is not lockstep in their ideology. Ooh, this is getting interesting, isn't it? We're going to continue Carlin's story. Stay with us. Back on the broadcast, we're sharing a post. Actually, it's a column written by a woman who's doing something she never expected to do, is go to a Trump rally. And she talks about being in the knitting world. And her hope was to kind of stay away from political stuff. I mean, knitters. I mean, do you think of knitters so much as being political? An idea of escaping. And it didn't quite work out that way. I knit as a way to relax and escape the drama of real life, not to further engage with it. It was impossible to ignore after roving gangs of online social justice warriors started going after anyone in the knitting community who is not in lockstep in their ideology. Knitting stars on Instagram were bullied and mobbed by hundreds of people for seemingly innocuous offenses. One man got mobbed so badly he had a nervous breakdown and was admitted to the hospital on suicide watch. Many things were not right about the hatred. Witnessing the vitriol coming from those who I had aligned myself with politically was a massive wake-up call. You see, I was one of those Democrats who considered anyone who voted for Trump a racist. I thought they were horrible. Yes, even deplorable. and worked very hard to eliminate their voices from my spaces by unfriending or blocking people who spoke about their support of him, however minor their comments. I watched a lot of MSNBC, was convinced everything he had done was horrible, that he hated anyone who wasn't a straight white man, and he had no redeeming qualities. But when I witnessed the amount of hate coming from the left in this small, niche, knitting community, I started to question everything. I started making a proactive effort to break my echo chamber by listening to voices I thought I would disagree with. I wanted to understand their perspective, believing it would confirm they were filled with hate for someone who wasn't like them. Turned out not to be the case. The more voices outside the left I listened to, the more I realized these were not bad people. They were not racist, Nazis, or white supremacists. We had differences of opinions on social and economic issues, but a difference of opinion does not make your opponent inherently evil. Don't we all need to hear that? Let me repeat that again. A difference of opinion does not make your opponent inherently evil. And they could justify their opinions using arguments rather than the shouting and ranting I saw coming from my side of the aisle. I started to discover, or perhaps rediscover, the walkaway movement. I'd heard about walkaway when MSNBC told me it was fake and a bunch of Russian bots. My goodness. Then I started to meet real people who'd been Democrats and made the decision to leave because they could not stand the way the left was behaving. I watched town halls they held with different minority communities, all available on in their entirety on YouTube, and I saw some rational discussion from people of all different races, backgrounds, orientations, and experiences. I joined the Facebook group for the community and saw stories popping up daily of people sharing why they're leaving the Democratic Party. This wasn't fake. These people are not Russian bots. Moreover, it felt like a breath of fresh air. There was not universal agreement in this group. Some Trump supporters, some weren't. But they talked and shared their perspective without shouting or rage or trying to cancel each other. I started to question everything. How many stories had I been sold that weren't true? What if my perception of the other side is wrong? How is it possible that half the country is overtly racist? Is it possible Trump derangement syndrome is a real thing? And had I been suffering from it for these past 3 years? And the biggest question of all, did I hate Trump so much? I wanted to see my country fail just to spite him and everyone who voted for him. Fast forward to the New Hampshire primary. We have all the politicians running around the state making their case. I've seen almost every Democratic candidate in person and noticed their messages were almost universally one of doom and gloom, not only focusing on the obvious disagreements with Trump, but also making sure to emphasize the country is a horribly racist place. Now, I do believe there are very real issues when it comes to race we as a society have yet to reckon with. I believe everyone from every background of every gender should have equal access to opportunities. No one's inherently more or less valuable or worthy than anyone else. And while the 2017 protests in Charlottesville, Virginia, led to a tragedy precipitated by real racists and real Nazis and real white supremacists, I started to see those labels simply don't apply to most people who support Trump. But with all of this, I was still reticent to even consider attending a Trump rally. I do not believe Trump's attitude is worthy of the highest office in the land. I abhor his Twitter. I am vehemently opposed to so many of his policies. But still, I wanted to see for myself. I'm not going to lie. I was nervous. So I thought I would start my day in familiar territory at an MSNBC live show taking place a few blocks away from the rally. I decided to wear my red hat that looks like a Trump hat, but with one small difference. It says, "Make speech free again," as my small protest against cancel culture. I even got a photo with MSNBC host Ari Melber while I was wearing it, just for kicks. The funny thing about that hat, it's completely open to interpretation. When I wear it around left-leaning people, they think I'm talking about the right. When I wear it around right-leaning folks, they think I'm talking about the left. It's a stark reminder of how much our own perspectives and biases play into how we view the world. In chatting with the folks at the taping, I casually said, I was thinking about going over to the Trump rally. The first reaction, a genuine fear for my safety. I'd never seen people I didn't know so passionately urge me to avoid all those people. One woman told me, those people.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.